And on behalf of my family and I, we want to extend a huge thank you for your care during our COVID experience. We truly appreciated your prayers, your notes, your flowers, your cards, your food drop-offs, and your meals. And we could really feel your love and your prayers. For me, it was 4 days of like not even being able to get out of bed. And day number two, my mother ran out of sweet and low. And I had to call my sister, I felt like it could have been my deathbed. And Lisa, can you bring sweet and low? And she said, maybe you need to put an order in to Giant. And I was like laying in bed going, okay, goodbye. We're going to die because what do we do now? Anyway, I'm sure she's very busy and she didn't mean anything by that. But lo and behold, the Myers family called and said, what can we bring? I'm like, sweet and low. And got delivered to my door. So I thank you very much for that. My son treats us like we have cooties, so he's been tested like 4 times, and he does not have COVID, but he treats us like we have cooties, and we've kind of gotten used to that, and we don't take it very personally. The other day on Tuesday, and it just felt so good to be here, and Marion, thank you for these flowers. When I came in to just have a few minutes in church, the flowers were beautiful, and I just thank you so much for helping spruce up our church. And this is lovely. Just if you take the time to stand and look at this, just we love a risen God, and He is with us always. Of course, I found Sandra under the deck out here. She's pulling weeds, and then Janine stopped, and she's been trying to get in touch with the mailman about our new possible mailbox. And the mailman drove up the road, and she, like, we were just talking, and she threw up her arms, and she started running to the mailman. Janine runs like a girl. And I just felt joy. I just felt joy being here, being in this place. Of course, not being here for so many Sundays, I was just like, how can I do my job? And I want to do my best, and I want to be there for all of you. And believe me, we're really trying to just hang in there and do our best. And again, we thank you for the prayers. As we gather in this church, let us be drawn into the safety of the love of God. On the evening of the resurrection, the disciples received from Jesus the Holy Spirit and the commission to go into the world and share the truth with others. John 17:18 reads, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." My father, my mother, and I are starting to watch The Chosen. We've just watched the first 2 shows of it. If you have the opportunity, watch it. And it was very interesting because after, I don't know, it might have been either the first or the second, my dad said to me, "Where do you fit in this?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "With Jesus. Where do you fit in this?" And we got to have a beautiful discussion, and that may be another sermon on another day. But for my dad to say to me, "Where do you fit in this with Jesus?" It opened up a lot of thoughts, and got to hear about how he has grown up and things that happened to him in his faith walk. But just amazing, and it gave me time to think, where do I fit in all of this with Jesus? Where do you fit in all of this with Jesus? As we prepare for the peace and love of our heavenly lives, our work is done here on earth. Jesus lived the truth and shared the truth with all he met. We are sent the same way Jesus was. Have you ever heard of the term the nuns? N-O-N-E-S? N-O-N-E-S. Brian Burge, pastor of an American Baptist church, defined the word nuns in an article that is titled, "As Secularization Rises, Seeds of Faith Fall on Rocky Ground." And then he defines nuns as people who do not identify with any religious tradition. He wrote that in 1996, 12% of Americans were nuns. By 2006, it was 16%. In the latest data that he had collected in 2018, nearly 24% of Americans had no religious affiliation. That's an increase of 50% in just 12 years. Pastor Burge wrote, "The most likely reason for the dramatic rise in this religious unaffiliation is simple secularization. The theory that as nations become more educationally advanced and economically prosperous, they will become less religious." Brian Wilson defines secularization as the process whereby religious thinking, religious practice, and institutions lose their social significance. Secularization has seeped into the American way of life, our culture, social structure, and our own consciousness. It is heartbreaking to even think that the love of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, is losing significance. Jen just, with her spreading of the seeds, turning on the TV, how quick she shared, how quickly, and doesn't take very much for us to back away from our faith, stand up for our own rights. It is amazing. David Guzik shared, "When we think of how Jesus was sent, how he lived and died, we connect with that truth. He was not sent as a conqueror. He was sent to teach. He was sent to live among us. He was sent to suffer for the truth. He was sent for righteousness. He was sent to rescue men and women. And we are sent the same way Jesus was. It is hard to possibly imagine the agony that Mary felt as she watched her son being crucified. Crucifixion was a way of execution that was public, it was slow, and it was painful. It was meant for one's death to occur in total humiliation. As Jesus said, 'It is finished,' he bowed his head and he gave us his spirit. He bore the sin of the world." Tenney interprets his words, "It is finished," as paid in full. Paid in full. Our sins are forgiven. Theologians have shared that Jesus did not hang his head in defeat, but he bowed his head in peace. Augustine wrote, "He gave up his life because he willed it, when he willed it, and as he willed it." May his great dignity under suffering lead us to believe and to continue to believe. The death and resurrection of Jesus are the strong foundation for faith in Jesus as our Messiah. The power of his resurrection is still transforming lives. This is the truth. Lives are still being transformed. He came that we may have abundant life. He is calling to each of us. Jesus gifted his disciples and us with the Holy Spirit, bringing new life and the ability to carry out his mission. We live to help our neighbors. We live to help our neighbors and our family experience life to the fullest as God intended. Hearts and lives are still being transformed every day. Every heart that turns to Jesus is able to be restored. He restores the selfish. I have those moments. The addicts, the racists, the angry, the hurt. I have those moments. The sick, the liars, the greedy. At times, with all the news and people sharing various opinions, we will feel offended. But But we don't need to take offense. And maybe when we feel offended, we need to say out loud, I will not be offended. And don't let it take hold of you. Remember the golden rule. And be prepared to forgive. Jesus performed miracles every day. And he still performs miracles every day. He watches over us continually. He is well aware of all of our circumstances. Our journey is a spiritual journey with Jesus. John would have called these signs shared in the Bible, that they were used to reveal Jesus in faith, to his faith. There are some signs, and I call them miracles, revealing Jesus as the Messiah, the chosen one. The story found in John 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, Fill the jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who drew the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, Everyone brings out the choice wines first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for now. What Jesus did in Cana of Galilee was the first sign through which he revealed his glory with his disciples and a few who saw him and they believed in him. He was not sure yet if it was his time to display the glory that God had given him. Jesus would now be moving, without a doubt, he would be moving forward to the destiny which he had come. Matthew 8, 1 through 4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cleaned from his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gifts Moses commanded as a testimony to them. A person with leprosy was a total outcast. They needed to stay a certain amount of feet away from each other. People would scream with worry upon seeing them, and they would cover their mouths in turn and avoid being near them. Jesus wished for that man to be forgiven and to be healed, knowing that he would go to live a life honoring God. Those who witnessed his healing were taken aback. Jesus actually touched that man, and he healed him, asking him not to tell how the healing happened. But the crowd was bigger. Not only were the disciples there, but there were other people watching. Mark 2, 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, and even outside the door as he preached to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man. There were four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening up on the roof, and they above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Even more people had been there to hear Jesus' word and to see the healing. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to a paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He's now announced himself. So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." While in Capernaum, they were probably staying, they were probably staying at Peter's home. More and more people were gathering to hear the stories. They had lots of questions for Jesus. As the man was lowered from the rooftop on his mat, Jesus knew that this man needed to be forgiven, and he needed to be healed. For the Son of God, forgiving and healing were performed lovingly and in honor of God for all to see. Honoring God, and now more people were aware that he was the Son of God. These miracles were miraculous signs and evidence of Jesus' holiness. These are strong evidence points toward faith. Do we know the stories of Jesus? Are we able to share when they're relevant with others? Jesus did not want the miracles to allow people to believe that he would rise up to be the King of the Jews. That indeed is not what he was proving. He wanted people to know that they were able to be born again, and that they would be saved, and they would be forgiven from their sins. 1 John 4:7-12. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that he might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." We are encouraged to ask God for the Holy Spirit to fill us. His love is made complete when we love Jesus and when we love others. Love is made complete. Love made complete. God's love is seen in those who love him. The disciples' lives were so fully transformed by Jesus' example. They wanted that same transformation for all who would read through their gospel accounts. May his light shine on us to expose the things that we say and do that are not pleasing to him. May our hearts be filled with the light of the Lord. May our family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers see Jesus in our words, our actions, and in our hearts. Because of Jesus, this life is not our final end, and for this we give him thanks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you gave us your life, and now we give our lives back to you. We present ourselves, our work, our play, our joys and our sorrows, our thoughts and deeds, our gifts, our resources, to be used by you for the sake of all people everywhere. We pray for Jake's father, Andrew's back, and Bob's health this week. I give you thanks for the people of Wellspring Church, Lord. I thank you for this place of worship. I thank you for the sunshine today, for the seeds that are growing in the earth. And Lord, I pray for the seeds that we will be scattering around our family, our friends, our neighbors, our seeds of love for you, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.